Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power, but more than that, it is the power of you as an individual to make a difference in life, no matter where you might be in whatever environment you might find yourself in. My guest today is in Switzerland. Yes, through the magic of technology, we are able to communicate with people around the world. And George Kohlreiser is a man who's led an extremely unique life. But he and two other colleagues, Susan Goldsworthy and Duncan Combe, decided they wanted to team together, and they put together a book called Care to Dare. Now, what is this going to be about? It's about unleashing leadership within you as an individual. And I don't care, again, what your position is in life. This is something that's invaluable to you as an individual, because when you can express your best, when you can bring up those qualities of personality and demonstrate leadership skills, which all of you can do on one level or another, it makes this world a better place. I want to welcome to my show George Kohlreiser. George, it's a delight having you on the show again.
Thank you, Donna. I'm very happy to be here.
You're a man that a few years ago, when we had a chance to talk about your international bestseller called Hostage at the Table, you're a man that has dealt with some very unique situations in life. You've won a number of awards, but one of the biggest skills that you have that I think you have been able to share with so many other people is the skill of communicating effectively and knowing how to, let's say, take the fire out of a situation that could be actually quite deadly. But more than that, you've expanded it since you put that book out. George, how did you and Susan and Duncan get together? Because Susan is an Olympic champion. She's an incredibly accomplished woman. Duncan, he's a teacher. He's also incredibly accomplished. Now, I know you deal with some of the finest and the best in the world. How did the three of you come together on this?
Well, it was through IMD. I have a program there called High Performance Leadership, which we offer 8 times now around the world. And they were working in the program as coaches or as a teacher. And we collaborated on putting together a research with as many people as we could find, about 1,000 CEOs, to understand how this idea of secure base works. Because after the Hostage at the Table book, and used the right words, bring the fire out of the conversation, in hostage negotiation, that's what we have to do. And in fact, those very principles have moved beyond hostage taking to leadership, to teachers, to doctors, to parents across the board. And your listeners might be surprised, I'm sure you're not, that really the essence of what a hostage negotiator does is they have to be able to create an emotional bond. They have to be able to show some form of empathy and caring towards the hostage taker, and through that be able to engage in a dialogue and negotiation and concession making to get the hostage out. And so this works in about 95% of the cases. And that was the origin of the concept Care to Dare. You have to have a certain amount of caring in order to dare people, in order to challenge them to do the very best they can do. So that's the idea behind Care to Dare, whether it's a leader, a hostage negotiator, a parent, a teacher, a doctor, across the board.
George, these are principles that I think are so significant. And I happen to see a movie that was done about Silas Marner. Now, this is an ancient story, relatively. It's a classic that talks about someone who does something like this. Because of all the pain and suffering that goes through, and I'll just sum it up in 30 seconds, he bonds with a child, and it totally changes his life. Well, I was thinking about that as I was going through and reviewing for today's program, and I was thinking so many people are so weary today of looking at those that stand up and proclaim themselves as leaders, and they are so disassociated from the real world. Here in the United States, I know you're in Switzerland, here in the United States, there is so much disillusionment. The cry is, where are the leaders? Those that are getting all of the public attention, it's as if we have children in place, undisciplined children, just totally self-serving. And people say, wait a minute, you're talking about leadership. What is really a leader? What is it? And that's covered in your book, but would you share the perceptions of what a real leader is?
Okay, you make a very good point, because I think it is horrific what's happening with the lack of dialogue and lack of leadership in the U.S., but not only there. We see it in Europe, and now we're seeing it explode in Brazil. A leader fundamentally creates that relationship. They are able to engage the people, and they lead them. They guide them towards a vision. But they have to maintain an emotional bond and a connection to be able to deal with whatever conflicts or issues that come up. And the problem we have now is that leaders are too much focused on themselves. And the political leaders around the world are more interested in a re-election or in their party or in their own self-interest than in serving the people. And the idea of servant leadership was very popular a few years ago, and it really is sort of the essence that the leader serves the people. And it's a combination of being able to create a relationship, to harness energy, pull energy together to accomplish something worthwhile. And all the differences can be resolved in one form or another if people come together around a common goal. And the problem we have in the United States is very simple. The leaders are not able to build a bond around a common goal. It's focused on either one or two issues or ideology that prevents the concession making that's necessary. But the old time great politicians all knew dialogue, talking to one another, concession making was essential. And if hostage negotiators can get a 95% success rate, why in the world do our political leaders not reach a better success rate? And I think part of the problem, Donna, is that in organizations, by and large, we're seeing better leadership all the time because it's fundamental to nonprofit organization success or for-profit organization success. But we have training and a succession process of how to somebody's going to follow. You can't get into a leadership role without training. Our politicians are basically without leadership training. That's the bottom line.
Yes, and there's a lot of what I feel is very old thinking. And you can look throughout history, any culture, any civilization that really moves forward, there is that common bonding. There has to be that essence of trust, and that is something that is extremely important. And throughout your book, the book Care to Dare is the bonding, but more than that, having, and I'll use the buzzword today, transparency. In other words, allowing yourself to be vulnerable. Now, that doesn't mean that you become this wimpish, limp noodle that's just blah, blah. That's not it. What it means is that you have integrity with what you are doing. Now, you have 9, I'll call them characteristics, that you feel are representative of good leadership. And this goes for anything. I don't care if you're leading a Boy Scout troop. It doesn't make any difference. These are good qualities. What are those qualities?
You're absolutely right. Let me review those in just a second. I wanted to make a comment first about caring, because the book has provoked a lot of controversy, Donna, because when you ask how caring should a leader be, you know, for many of the leaders sitting in the audience, I don't care where it is around the world, because I teach all over the world, the reaction is the same. Oh, my gosh, how caring should they be? And they sort of mumble and fumble. And then will they say a lot or very, but with a sort of hesitancy, well, you got to have limits. Well, the answer to that question is the leader must be 100% caring. The doctor must be 100% caring. The teacher, the parent. But that doesn't mean you can't draw limits or boundaries. That's the fundamental part. You have a tough process in being able to draw the boundary, have the difficult conversation, and that's the daring part. But it's based on the safety. Now, coming back to your question, the characteristics, what we found basically nine, and some of the most important of those was that the individual feels a certain honesty and transparency. You used a very powerful word. You have to be a person to be a leader. You have to connect to the person. Then they see potential in people. They're talent hunters. They're able to build the intrinsic motivation. Another big crisis in the world today is people are driven by extrinsic motivations in business, money, or promotions. In school, it's the grades. It's not driven by that internal passion and belief in what you're doing. And they're able to stay calm. And the point about these nine characteristics, as you said, they are universal in a way, common sense, but we did this in a research way to prove how important it is to be able to have a leader you can trust. And the sad story is, and you probably know this, 80% of people do not trust their boss. Now, that's catastrophic because they're always on defensive mode. Their brain is looking to be defensive and not on a growth mode of looking what mm-hmm. is possible. They're always expecting the worst. And that is connected directly to engagement. And again, the research just came out about the high levels of engagement, not only in the U.S., but around the world of employees. And what Gallup found is if you have an immediate manager, immediate boss, who cares, who shows some interest, who has some empathy, you're likely to describe yourself as happier in your job and engaged.
I think that's very true. And I saw a good demonstration of that with a company that I worked for many years ago. And it was a young man. There were technically six bosses in this company. And the company was floundering. And this young man who had just come out of college, he had worked at his father's company for he'd been in the mailroom, he'd worked his way up. And he came in, and his dad said, you're going to have to take my place because my health just is not holding up. So he did. And he really walked into a hornet's nest. He had a lot of disgruntled employees. He had a threat of a union coming in. It was just pandemonium. And it really worked on him because he had a love of this company. But he had grown up among many of the loyal employees that had been there for 30 years. And there was a lot of fear because they were afraid the company was going to close down, things were changing, technology was changing, all kinds of things were going on. But he literally took the bull by the horns, and he became open. And he did exactly the opposite of what his father had done. Even though the loyalty of the employees to the father was just incredible, he had a different demeanor. And that company, I know, I was there. I was the executive secretary. I saw it happen firsthand. Yeah. He was able to turn the fear, the anger, the confusion around. Now, it took time. It didn't happen overnight because the employees were very distrustful of the other bosses. And I know this because I'd hear their conversations. And by golly, he was able to turn it around so that the fear went away. There was a communication he had with the employees. And this, I think, is something that when you apply it, even in your everyday life, when there's that sense of trust, I think most people, at least in my perception, are really good people at heart. But if you're a leader, they need to know that you are vulnerable. They do need to know that you have challenges and not to be afraid of bringing those challenges out. And I think lots of times that's very difficult because there's such an indoctrination of, well, gee whiz, well, we're going to just do whack, whack, whack or whatever. And it just terrifies people.
Well, you gave a perfect example of what secure-based leadership is about, what Care to Dare is about. You become a secure base. People trust you because of your vulnerability, your transparency, your humanness, your empathy, and then you can deliver the painful messages that have to be delivered. When this boss you described had those tough conversations, ultimately people trusted him and found him as a secure base. And that's why when we ask people, who's the best leader you ever had, the best teacher you ever had, the best doctor you ever had or nurse, they all will describe that they were tough. They brought out in me something I didn't know I could do. And so, but I knew they were interested in me. I knew they were caring. And you could feel that. And so the brain, and this is what's very critical, is the brain is fundamentally looking for danger in order to survive. But when you have a secure base, whether that's a person, a home, a goal, an object, it comes in many forms. It shuts down the defensive nature in the brain, and then you start looking for possibilities. You start looking for the positive. You start looking not just what can't be done, but what can be done. And you do that as part of an attitude of growing rather than defensive attitude of contracting and pulling back inside. Human nature is fundamentally curious, but it's only after we get driven into fear situations or painful situations that we then get our brain hardwired not to lose. And so we look for what can go wrong and not take enough risks. And when the brain is hardwired to play to win, we want to take those risks, and you balance the caring safety with the risk-taking.
In your book, and I'm quoting directly from it, and I think this is so important, the most successful people appear not to be motivated by being the richest people in the world. Instead, they are driven by the desire to achieve something. Money is a byproduct of success as opposed to the goal in itself. Now, we have a real challenge with this because so many times, we'll hear how important, you know, certain people have achieved the status of making gazillions of dollars, and yet we watch their lives self-destruct. And it has been my observation that those people I have known or that I would really consider as successful individuals, that's absolutely true. Money has not been the goal, and they may not ever achieve what is described as a level of wealth, yet they have brought to life's table of richness that they have been able to share with others. And George, I think sometimes that there is a confusion, and I think of the young people of today, that so many times the images that are put in front of them, gee, if you're a leader, you've got to be a multimillionaire or something like this. That's not it. Leadership is very much living a life of quality, of purpose, and I like your word, joy. It is living it. Not that you shouldn't be comfortable financially and you shouldn't aspire to be financially independent. That's a given, because we all want to be comfortable so we can do what we want to do. Money is just a tool. That's all. But it is something I really think that there is that hunger on the part of people, and that's what your book, Care to Dare, goes towards. There is a hunger within the individual that says, I want to know that I have something that I can give into life that is going to make this life better, that's going to make it something that is in some way enriched because I am here living in this life. Am I wrong?
You're absolutely correct. You nailed it right on the head. You hit the nail right on the head. That's what I was meaning to describe with the intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. Donna, this was the shock of all the research. In 100% of cases, of all the people we researched, we found that they were driven by intrinsic motivation, a passion inside, a belief inside, a desire to learn, desire to contribute, as opposed to the extrinsic motivation of money, rewards that are extrinsic or in grades at school. And we have a terrible thing happening with our young people. They are being hardwired not to enjoy learning, but to be focused on getting that grade. Some say, okay, I'll go for the grade. Some just drop out. But it's the special teacher who brings out that intrinsic motivation where you enjoy learning. And I don't care if it's science, statistics, whatever the subject, if you got that secure-based teacher, they can inspire you to be want to find that inside. And if we look at Howard Schultz, or we look at Warren Buffett, or some of the great leaders who did become wealthy, they were not driven by wealth. They enjoyed it. And as Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are doing, they're trying to give their millions away. Or billions away. Here's the point. If you are driven by what you believe in, if you have the passion for what it is you want to do to make the world a better place, the money will generally take care of itself. And that brings up the other point, that you have to be able to fail and tolerate that sense of failure, but always have a secure base to fall back on, to lift you up. And if you look at the great leaders, tended to all have secure bases somewhere in their life, a parent, a mentor, a grandparent, an uncle, who was there as an inspiration. And what is it that really inspires people? Money does not inspire people. What inspires you is what you believe in and the state that you get in by what you're able to do, not just for yourself, but for others.
I think this is so important, and that's why I really found your book, Care to Dare, so good. You should see all the yellow highlighting I've got in it. One of the stories that you have in here, you're welcome. One of the stories that's in here that really grips my heart, because I saw the movie about Rwanda. The man Paul, his last name is quite a long one, so I hope I don't butcher it too badly, Paul Rusabagina. And
very good.
He is a man that did an extraordinary thing. And if any of you ever have a chance to watch the movie about Rwanda, make sure that you have plenty of Kleenex and realize that whoever did this film was just incredible with it. This occurred in 1994 on April the 6th, and it was the wholesale slaughtering. And that's a horrible combination of words to use, but that is exactly what it was. It was like a section of the human race went berserk, butchered up to 1 million people. And it's just incomprehensible what this man did, how he, as one man, took and protected in a hotel. I mean, his story is incredible. George, would you tell a little bit more about that story?
Well, it was horrific. The demonization of the Hutus and the Tutsis, and the killing and the slaughter of people who were married, it was incredible. But on the other hand, there were people who had that deeper sense of bonding. He opened up his hotel against all kinds of warnings, against all kinds of threats. And he protected both Tutsis and Hutus. And he stood up in front of the gang leaders, and he was able to bond with them. He was able to connect with them and protect the people that were inside. Now, I've heard him speak several times. I know him personally. It's incredible. And we bring him to IMD to tell the story of leadership, because it's exactly what leaders do. They harness energy towards some common vision or goal to make the world a better place. And he saved so many people because he was able to, number one, bond with the enemy. He saw the goal of how to protect people, and he was extremely good in dialogue and negotiating, and he kept those people alive. And it was packed. I mean, they were just packed into that hotel, and they were not killed because of his protection. He was a secure base.
He's just amazing. And you have a phenomenal story about Alberto Vollmer, who is a businessman in Venezuela, and how in February of 2000, when there was a major shift politically, a dictator had taken over, and this dictator was speaking out against private property and landowners, and this man had 18,300 acres of compounds, a hacienda, a family-owned company, Santa Teresa rum distillery. This man was brilliant. This is a takeover of takeovers. And what he did was mind-boggling. You've got to share his story because the resourcefulness of thinking and application that came into play, wow, what an example for the world.
Yeah, because Alberto is a good friend of mine, and what he did was basically see that that things were changing, and what could he do? Rather than have, and he was a hostage, and they held him hostage for a long time, and he figured out very quickly what they wanted was jobs. So he took gang members, I mean people off the street who were gang members, Donna, and he trained them to work in this distillery. And then as the government was starting to confiscate land, he created a bond with Chavez, and it was about this. Look, let me take the land and give it to you, keep it in our family name, but we will do the construction, and let's get good housing, let's get good use of this land. And he basically controlled how the housing was developed and was able to build a relationship so that the agreement was his family would be honored for this land, and the workers would have a piece of land, a piece of property that they could take care of and at the same time work in his distillery. Now, that was just revolutionary thinking. And that, when you talk to him, he said that came from his father. His father was always a secure base, and that value that you must protect the company, protect family, and protect the people in your environment drove him into that mindset, which normally most people wouldn't even think about. But his father gave him that foundation.
George Kohlreiser, I know that we are just about out of time. You're a very busy man, a very successful man, and your two associates, Susan Goldsworthy and Duncan Combe, the three of you together have put together a very, very powerful publication that I think should be in every business school, period. I think it is something that should be mandatory reading for kids in high school, because we need to know that leadership is not someone being given a title of CEO or whatever title you want to put on somebody. It is a quality of character and essence that can be learned and cultivated. And to be a leader, whether, again, it's of a church, a scouting troop, your own business, of your own life, being a leader in your own life so that you can demonstrate to those people that come in contact with you qualities of character that are substantially, substantially significant wherever you are. It makes a difference. Now, what's your website, George, so we can let people know how they can be in touch?
GeorgeKohlreiser.com. It's very simple.
George Kohlreiser.
G-O-H-L-R-I-E-S-E-R is this time. Please?
Yes, let me spell that again because I think I interrupted you. It's K-O-H.
Okay, so it's George Kohlreiser.
.com. George, thank you very, very much for being with me.
May I give one last message to all your listeners?
Absolutely.
And that would be this, that never forget the importance of caring in whatever role. You said it, whether it's a Boy Scout or Girl Scout leader or whatever, always build the caring and then tough. Dare. Challenge yourself, not be afraid of failure, and go where there is no path and leave a trail in life, not where there are lots of trails, and make sure good comes out of it for people around the world around you.
I concur, George. That is absolutely fabulous. Thank you so much. It has been a joy having you as a guest. And in your travels and in your business, may you continue to inspire and uplift others, because we need leaders like you, like Susan and Duncan and others, that you talk about in your book, they are desperately in need. They are there. We just need to know about them so we know that we do have a secure base, that those leadership aspects are there for us to be able to have confidence in. Thank you so much, Joe Coleridge.
Thank you, Don. It's a pleasure always to talk to you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to have some more good things to share with you. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Thanks again, George Coleridge, for being my guest. We'll be right back.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets, with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Do you have a product or service that you would like people to know about? Internet radio is a powerful medium that can assist you in reaching people who like to shop online and pass by electronic word of mouth information about you, your products, and or services. The Donna Sebo Show reaches around the world, and you can be part of that enterprising network. For more information, contact Vision Broadcasting via Donna at DelphiInternational.com.
Or call 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number, if you would like to call in and chat with me, is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And also, you know, if you have a question about the interview or anything that comes into your mind, just know you can ask it. It's not a problem. I'm happy to chat with you about it. I wanted to share a wonderful story with you today. Oh, before I forget it, I want to let you know we've got some, before I go in and talk about a wonderful little mutt called Garby, I wanted to share with you, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Din Loren. Now, Din is a woman that has done something that physicians and dermatologists said couldn't be done. She cured herself of rosacea. Now, this is a skin condition that millions of people have, and it's very difficult to deal with, but she cured herself, and then we're going to be talking with Jonathan Goldman. Now, Jonathan is a master of music, harmonics, and he's been on my show so many times, but Jonathan is just the greatest guy, and he's got a special thing coming up. So anyway, we've got Jonathan, and then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Doc Grayson, Handwriting Secrets Revealed. Handwriting Secrets Revealed. And I don't know about you, but when someone says, I do handwriting analysis, do you say, hey, can I write out something for you? Can I tell you a little bit about myself? Tell me about myself. This is a subject that's a lot of fun for anyone. And Doc Grayson is a man that we're going to be discussing this with, so you'll have some information and some tips that you'll be able to find out about. Okay, give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-627-6008, if you'd like to call in and chat with me. Well, for those of you that listen to the show on a regular basis, you know I have a real soft spot for heartwarming stories about animals. And I've got a picture in front of me of a little mutt. He must be all of about 5-7 pounds in weight. And he's got this shaggy brownish coat, these floppy ears. He looks woebegone when you look at him in one photograph. But he's got these beautiful eyes. And you just want to cuddle him. He's just adorable. Well, I had this story cross my desk, and I said, okay, I have to share this with you because this is a story about a guy named Mike. Now, Mike works in Muncie, Indiana. He's a sanitation worker. And he, as many men have done, not many women volunteer for this kind of job, he's riding his truck, and there's a strange noise. It's coming from the inside of his truck. And he couldn't figure it out. And he thought, this sounds a little bit like a whimper. Well, he looked into the hopper of the truck. And here was this tiny, tiny little brown head looking at him right in the eyes. The animal had been stuffed into a garbage bag. It was a puppy. The puppy was barely 6 weeks old, and the crusher on the truck had not been activated yet, because often they have these crushers in to compress the materials that they pick up. When he found this out, they stopped the truck immediately, and he said, this crusher, he said the animal would have been killed. Well, he was just beside himself. He said, I've collected trash. I've been a garbage man for a long time. I have never, ever had seen an animal stuffed into a bag and just dumped in the garbage like this baby was. So he said he didn't know if someone did it on purpose or whether this is a puppy that had been abandoned and maybe he was looking for food. He just didn't know. But he said, this little guy was so dirty. He was so tiny. He could barely move. So he picked the puppy up. And the puppy just relaxed in his arms. The puppy knew he was with someone that was safe. So he took him back to his office and bathed the little guy. And he wanted to make sure that the little person was not hurt in any way, and he did what he could, and he was just checking him over, and this little puppy just turned his little head around and licked his cheek. Yeah, that would melt you, wouldn't it? Just that right then and there, that puppy melted Mike's heart big time. And he said, okay, you're going home with me. Well, Mike and his wife, Shelley, had a dog, huge husky. You know how big those boys get. Well, they had a husky, and he was concerned because he didn't know whether his wife was going to want to have the little guy in the house. So when he took him home, his wife said, sure, he's welcome, but the little guy has to be checked out, so they took him to a vet. And the vet said, you know, you're lucky, because this puppy is so malnourished, he was very close to death. When you found him in that garbage bag, he was close to death. So he was a mutt. He was a mixture of a Shih Tzu and something else. But it didn't take long, as usually it does not, when you're loved and when you're cared for. Well, that puppy responded. Well, the story got out. You know that the people that Mike worked with all knew about this puppy, and stories like this spread like wildfire. Well, Garby, that's the name they gave the puppy. He's now famous. Oh, yes, he's very famous. He has his own Facebook page, in fact. And people will stop Mike on the street wanting to know how Garby's doing. this tiny little person that within a matter of minutes could have been crushed to death in this massive machine, saved by a man, this puppy has ended up touching the lives of thousands of people through Facebook. His story, they love. And someone from the Muncie, Indiana Animal Shelter said, Garby is a very lucky puppy. But Mike said, you know what? He is such a special little person. We love him so much, and he's brought us so much joy that we feel we're the lucky one. But this is a win-win situation, isn't it? And I think that's what we need to realize, that we're a part of this universe, and there's all of this wonderful expression called life. And when we participate in that expression, and when we give to that expression, somehow or another, there is this harmonic that occurs. Just stop and think about this little dog. People in Muncie, Indiana, and other parts of the country and the world that know about Garby, they find that it makes a difference to them. So with social networking, there's a connection, and there's a caring. Look at what happened when major disasters occurred, like in Japan, when we've had things in the United States. How many people sincerely care and do whatever they can, whether it's donating clothing, they're volunteering their time, they say, I want to help. I want to be able to make a difference. That is a showing of heart that you cannot manufacture. It comes from the depth of the quality of character of human beings. And it goes and it extends. And we need to remember that. We need to keep that in mind. We need to understand that that's the essence we want to promote. And I mentioned when I was interviewing my guest today, the movie Silas Marner. And you can go to your local library and get it. By the way, use your library. You're going to find so much awesome material there. Oh, my goodness. Movies and historical information, romance novels, you name it. Your libraries are wonderful, and you can take it out on loan. You're not having to pay a penny for it. You're paying for it, perhaps through some of the taxes that are collected, but it's something, remember, this is a wonderful resource, and your librarians are great people. But I pulled this out just by chance. George Eliot is the author of Silas Marner. And the story is heartwarming because it's historical. It's a classic story about life. And it's a wonderful story. It's a great story to share with kids, by the way. But I think it's something often as adults we need to remember. We need to take time to be quiet and to be still and be aware of the fact that we make a difference. Each of us have a very important job to do, and that is to give the best of who we are on whatever level we're expressing ourselves in, the finest and the best. There is always going to be that dark side, but I'll tell you what, when you give the best for all of the ugliness, just like we talked a moment ago about Rwanda and the horrific stuff that went on there, it's beyond my comprehension. I cannot imagine that kind of insanity. But in all of that insanity, there was a man that stood tall and made a difference. And he didn't think it was any big deal. But to the 100,000 plus whose lives he saved, it was a big deal. And this is something we need to remember. We count. But it's our character, our integrity, our essence. That is what makes a difference, and we can demand that of the people that we choose as leaders. We have to expect it, and it will be there. But if we don't expect it, we're going to get what we get. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take some time here, take a break. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, and the number is 888-627-6008. We're going to be right back.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors. A bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere. First thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top-of-the-line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Have you ever had a paranormal experience, such as seeing a ghost, having precognitive dreams, out-of-body experiences, or other happenings? If so, Donna would like to hear from you. She's putting together a book of 100 stories from people who would like to tell their story. If you'd like to submit yours, send an email to donna@delphiinternational.com. Again, send your story to donna@delphiinternational.com. Be sure to include your contact information as well. Thank you.
Hi, this is Donna. I've got a pizza recipe I wanted to share with you. If you're like me and you like pizza, although I have to say the pizza maniac in our household is my husband. He loves pizza. He says he's never met a pizza he doesn't like, and I said I've met plenty I didn't like. But anyway, good pizza, and being of Italian background, I just, oh my goodness, I have memories of pizzas that I would have when I was younger, and someone would say, that was when you were younger, you didn't know better. But the reality was, that was something that was really a delicious food. So I wanted to share a recipe about that with you, and then a couple of other things, but let me just get into this pizza recipe. So if you've got a pad of paper and a pen, this is one that is like a four-cheese pizza. Oh, I love cheese. How about you? Do you enjoy that? And this is something that vegetarians can enjoy, but, you know, even meat lovers enjoy. And I think the quality of a cheese can really make a difference. So I wanted to share this one with you because it's really, really simple. It's very, very easy to do. And my goodness, one of the things you may need to have are some pizza stones. And that may or may not be something that's in your kitchen. But if you're going to use a regular pizza pan, make sure you put it in the oven so that it is heated before you put these pizzas on it. Because if you put in the cold pan underneath it, your crust isn't going to cook well. Believe me, I've tried different things. But the pizza stones, if a pizza is a big thing in your house, and this is something maybe every week you like to have with a family or what have you, pizza stones are a very good investment, just like bread stones. And when you're fixing bread, it will enable a better crust to evolve. But sometimes you just have to work with what you've got. But if you're going to use a pan for making your pizza, above all, preheat it. And you want your oven at 500 degrees. If you notice whenever you go to a good pizza place, they have these brick ovens, they have specialty ovens. Well, that's because those ovens are able to get to extremely high temperatures. And if it's a stone oven, a brick stone oven, by golly, those pizza crusts come out in just an incredible way. Well, you're not going to ever have that in your house, of course, but you can get the temperature of your oven up to 500 degrees. So that's what you want to do. And again, you want to put that pan that you're going to be baking your pizza in the oven so that it gets hot. Now, you're going to need some bread flour, and I've got a classic pizza dough that I'm going to be sharing with you. And these are the ingredients that go on the pizza. You're going to need about a tablespoon, maybe a little bit more. You play with this. Find out what works for you, of extra virgin olive oil. And the reason extra virgin is recommended is because you're not going to have any intense flavors. But You use what you have, and if olive oil is a must for this. You need Felagino cheese or Fontina cheese. You need about an ounce of that, maybe a little bit more, an ounce of Gorgonzola cheese, 2 ounces of mozzarella cheese, and you want to tear that into pieces. You can buy your mozzarella in the ball, then just tear it up. Then you need 2 tablespoons of finely grated Parmesan cheese. I have to tell you, when I make pizza, I always use more than this with cheese. I'm a cheese lover, but having the mixture like this is awesome. Some freshly ground pepper. You're going to need about 2 tablespoons, additional 2 tablespoons of oil. You're going to need about 8 fresh sage leaves. And if you don't like sage, leave it out. You could use another seasoning, like maybe some oregano or some fresh basil. Be a little creative with this. It won't hurt. 2 tablespoons of walnuts. Now, these walnuts should be toasted and chopped, so you can fix those in advance. All right, now here's the basic classic pizza dough. You want to mix, you want a cup of warm water, a package of active dry yeast, that's about 1/4 ounce, 1 1/4 teaspoons of sugar, 1 1/2 tablespoons of olive oil, and you may need a little bit additional with this. You need 3 cups of bread flour, and again, you may need a little additional, and 1 1/4 teaspoon of salt. In a small bowl, you put your water, your yeast, and your sugar. And believe me, it's going to start working. And the reason you use the sugar is because it activates the yeast. It will make the yeast start coming alive a lot quicker because the yeast is feeding on the sugar. And while you're doing that, as it's beginning to get frothy, you're going to stir in your 1 1/2 tablespoons of oil, and then you have 3 cups of your bread flour and your salt in a large bowl. And your yeast mixture, you can pour right over the dry ingredients with your hands. You mix it together, form the dough, turn it out on the surface. You knead it 5 minutes until it's smooth and elastic. And then you want to put a little bit of oil in a dry bowl and go ahead and put the oil over the bread, cover it with a dish towel, not wax paper or saran wrap, a towel, because the towel breathes and it won't stick to the bread. And just leave it alone. The bread dough is going to rise, and depending on the temperature, it's going to rise within 45 minutes to an hour. And then when it comes time to use it, you just put it out on a slightly floured work surface, punch it down. So you want to divide your dough into 2 pieces, and you're going to let the dough rise. After you put your dough balls on a lightly greased sheet, you're going to let it rise. You roll out into 6-inch rounds, and you want to perhaps put them on a parchment-lined paper. Now, if you've got your items preheating in the oven, you're not going to have the parchment paper in there. So you can do it without that, or you just will have to transfer it. You'll need something that's going to transfer the pizza into and onto those pizza stones. So you are going to need a workspace, though, and having it on parchment paper is good. You brush your dough with olive oil. You crumble your cheeses, put it all on top of there, season it with a little pepper, and you slide your pizzas from the parchment paper onto the hot pizza stone. Now make sure you have those gloves that you can use that can take the heat when you're transferring it. And you maybe will need, a large spatula to help you put it on the pizza stone. And by golly, it's going to cook amazingly quick when you put this onto the pizza stones, and it will come out nice and golden. And what you do is you add, your sage if you want, and you take your pizzas and bring them out. Now, what if you want to add some specialty tomato sauce? Put it on. Go ahead and use whatever you want. This is just something that is the bread, the cheeses, and you want to put that on. Great. Now, when you're adding your seasoning with your basil, you may need to saute that a little bit before you put it in the oven, or just mix it. If you use the dry basil, you can just mix it right in with the cheese. There's a lot of things that you can do, but this is a basic recipe, and it is terrific. And then you can sprinkle it with walnuts, or if you want to use your fresh basil, you can cut it up, or your sage. And again, you can just put it right over the top. But the fresh is better than the dried if you're going to sprinkle it over after you've cooked it. But anyway, this is a wonderful recipe. It's very easy to do, and it's something that will satisfy the taste buds. But use your imagination. Pizza is pizza. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are on this beautiful planet of ours, and be a light for others. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.